Bureau failed to stop now.
Blog Talk
Radio. The woman don't have to deserve their power. She favors justice, accountability, and the agents who turn the board.
You really don't understand, do you? Hey, man, don't you realize in order for us to make this thing work, man, we've got to get rid of the pimps and the pushers and the prostitutes, and then start working clean. Nobody pushing people else. I mean, not you, not the cops, nobody. I want to get rid of the pushing off, but those people have to be. John, you know, we can't get more without getting rid of the other. We can come down on both of them at the same time. It's always working.
What's up, everybody? Citizen Payne here, back after a minute. This is K Son and Friends, and yeah, it's been about a month since we've done a show. A lot of things in life have been going on. We have a lot to discuss. Hey, God bless my cousin Wanda, who passed away last month. This was the end of the month. And I had another cousin that passed away the day that her funeral was going, so it was kind of a double whammy. Life is a challenge, as I'm sure the brothers could tell you. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. Byron Saunders, a legendary historian. And plus we've had a lot of stuff going on. The end of the war, America's longest war. Anniversary, 9/11, 20th anniversary, recall election, and we got a football season, so we got a lot to talk about. Sitting here watching these people getting ready to take off into space. First all tourist crew going into space for like 3 days. I don't know if I'd be down with that. You know, somebody on the spot on the joint got to know what they're doing. So, you know, I might go with two other tourists and the rest, I want them to be astronauts, real people that have been doing it. I don't want to be rolling with a bunch of rookies out to space, but that's just me. That's just me. Today is the anniversary of the church bombing. Four little girls, I believe, in Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham, it was referred to. Because all those bombs that they were trying to terrorize the black people with down there. Man. And they also got something going on called Justice for the J6, for J6 or something like that, where even more traitors are trying to justify and make the other traitors into heroes. You guys see what's going on all across the country. Step back and take a comprehensive look at everything. And you will see that the Republicans and people who engage in white people who practice white supremacy are making all kinds of offensive moves, right? I've said it before. I think I'm on record as saying that they are trying to push America in their attempts to limit voting and all that and to really be strict about citizenship. trying to push America, I think, into like apartheid type of system, where they would like to have it where the minority rules the majority, you know. And if you look at all the moves that the Republicans are making, it's pretty obvious, right? And it's pretty obvious that racism is pretty obvious too. Even regardless of the way that you see the talking heads talk about it, they might not want to highlight the racism. They might not see it as clearly. They might have a vested interest in a preferred citizenship type of society, if you will. So I don't always think that people on some of these dials will really just break it down and say, you know, the problem is racism. That's the prevailing foundational problem. You know, a lot of the stuff that we have, you know, got elected, a black president got elected, and then, you know, all hell broke loose with some of these peoples. So what are you going to do? That's how they're coming at it, you know. They see the changing demographic of America, and they're willing to do things by force, which is not really anything new, right? If these type of individuals, if you know what these type of individuals are descendants of, that's how they roll. The terrorists, you know, the insurrectionists, Klan, white supremacists, you know, all those white power groups that are down with all this action. What's trippy to me is that, you know, I've said it before, the Democrats act like punk-ass Democrats. We don't want to just say how ridiculous. The most glaring thing to me, I'm going to tell us in a minute, the most glaring thing to me is life is getting back to normal, right? It's kind of getting back to normal. And can't you just point it out, like, you know, when these guys were in charge, look at how everything literally came to a standstill. And they were actually trying to act like that didn't happen. We literally couldn't had to change our way of life in America. That seemed to me to be the no-brainer. Like, if I was in the elected office down there, I would just be yelling that out all the time, every time one of these idiots got up to speak, you know. But I don't think that, you know, not everybody that's supposed to be on your team is on your team. You know, all you got to do is look to your left or right, or anywhere you see Joe Manchin standing, and that'll tell you that some Democrats don't want the same thing as other Democrats. But let me bring the fellas in here. Let me bring Byron Saunders in, legendary historian. What's up, Byron? How you doing this evening, my brother?
My brother down in Washington, in D.C., as you know, but I'm going to start off by expressing my sincere condolences to you and your family. It was a tough 4 weeks there, and, you know, one right after another, but I'm also reminded that the beauty of life and death is that it's a creative moment, that things continue in the continuum of life, continue to be creative. And we honor our ancestors. We honor those people we lost, and we share in the celebration of the remembrances. And so it's tough, but you've got fond memories to hold on to, and I really... That's where I put my condolences, is to honor those. And they might have been cousins. I don't even know. You know, we're a small community in our African-American community.
That's very true.
Your folks are from Virginia. My folks are from Virginia. Come on now. And you went to Hampton. I went to Hampton. Come on. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be some connection there. Anyway, where do I start? And with all that's going on after a summer hiatus, that's what I call it. I'm going to start with the moment today. America, say these names loud and clear. Simone Biles, Michaela Maroney, Maggie Nichols, and Ali Raisman testifying at the U.S. Senate committee hearing today. And then you pivot back to abortion rights, challenging women's rights to protect their bodies. And then pivot back to Christine Blasey Ford. Remember her accusing Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her at his nominating Senate Judiciary Committee? And then pivot back to 1991 Anita Hill, when she accused U.S. Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas, first supervisor at the United States Department of Education and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, of sexual harassment. You know, each of these cases and a million more women who have been abused, objectified, and oppressed and not believed for centuries in this nation since the Salem witch trials by men of power and those who have sworn their oath to our Constitution and entrusted to serve and protect all women as equal citizens. You know, it's time that the hashtag MeToo movement, we got to believe. And what was really the hypocritical moment of the day was listening to Senator Ted Cruz, Cornyn, both from Texas, Cotton from Arkansas, sitting there reading from a prepared text, honoring and praising these athletes because of their courage and ability to stand here and tell us their truth today. The same mofos, because I'm going to clean up my language, who are sitting there signing off on the Texas abortion bill, signing off, and like in Arkansas, the same issue where they're trying to bring it to other states. How hypocritical can you be? And by the way, Ted Cruz, you threw your own daughters under the bus when you gloriously went to Cancun during a worst snowstorm in Houston, Texas, and across your state. Why? Because you chose to run and hide versus protecting your own citizens. That's the height of the hypocrisy that white men and men of power did today in front of us, those young women. I got four sisters. You've got a sister. And we all have to protect our women. And abusing slave babies because you went to the slave house to practice your manhood? You know, how dare you? That's why we have to have a removal of these people from the midst of our power base because they're not there to protect us. They're the cruelest, vilest type of individual you can think of. And so I'm going to salute those women and remember those names because they're connected to the same injustice, the same abuse that we are seeing today right there in the midst of our, and, you know, I'll come back to the other issues, but I just wanted to start off with that one to clear my mind of that and protecting our sisters, our women. We must do that. They gave birth to us, people.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, my brother. Absolutely. Let's bring in Brother Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman, and get his take on the things as well.
Hey.
Wayne, what's going on, man? How you doing this evening?
It's good to be with you all again. And I know, in all sincerity, I don't want to put a Paul or sound maudlin, but I, too, express my sympathy. I just would like to add that I suffered a loss within the last 2 weeks. I don't know if you remember the name Hugh Wyatt. He used to be a stockholder at Inner City Broadcasting and longtime journalist at the Daily News and many other places. Great guy, short story. He helped me through my crisis, prostate cancer, which I'm not unabashed to talk about. And unfortunately, he had the same condition but never got treatment, and we lost him. A great voice and surely missed. I'm still trying to, wrap my head around the fact that this is the process of life, but what I went through with the passing of your mom. But again, it's not about, sound modeling. I have to agree with Byron a moment ago. The only thing that I would add to what Byron said is that the head of the FBI, because there were elements within the FBI that were well aware of what was going on with this and did nothing.
Right.
And today the head could only apologize for the actions of others, and I don't think that's enough. You know,
he wasn't there when it all jumped off, to be fair for him, but you're right.
Yeah, but I mean, it should be, you know, some accountability. I mean, it's like everything that Byron was just saying. You have these people who are investigating the, not just what happened with the young athletes, but, you know, just to juxtapose that with the congressional investigation into the Afghanistan removal of American troops and the double talk that goes on. You know, I mean, it's to me, I'm tired of hearing babbling. double talk, you know. It's so frustrating. And I want to feel that the American experiment ultimately would succeed. I think what happened in California in the last 48 hours is very defining. But, you know, again, the Republican Party, at least those elements that don't seem to want to accept reality, they're focused on derailing everything that they can. You know, 2022 is coming up, and they got their eyes on 24. They want to make sure that Biden is a one-time president, and that's it. And, you know, it's not impossible for us to succeed, but we have to band together and really look at the big picture to what's going on in this country. It's not impossible. I would like to see that we keep the faith.
I was thinking about the war. You mentioned the war a little bit and the ending of the war. Curious to see what you guys think about that. You know, everything is broad strokes. You know, the other side and just our society in general. People don't really pay attention. I was thinking about. I was watching the Black News Channel, and they had a woman on there that was doing a little foreign analysis of Afghanistan and was talking about, you know, everybody's talking about Biden's approach or where they went about exiting out of Afghanistan and all that. And she said, well, it's not only him, it's other presidents before him, of course, been like that for 20 years. But she said, it's really Congress that has enabled these presidents to do that. And she's right. People are right. But also, not the whole Congress. You can't, and this is what I always try to get people to realize, you can't look at the government as a big monolithic thing, or certainly all the people there, a monolithic group. And the Congress is a group, is made up of 435 people, individuals, two different sides, right? But then within that, you have individuals that are going to do whatever they want to do, like a cat like Joe Manchin, for example purposes, who is going to do his thing regardless whether he's on supposed to be on our side or not, on one side or the other. He seems to have another agenda that supersedes ours. But the main thing I'm talking, the point is that people don't realize who's doing what. You know, they know the big names, you know, Mitch McConnell and those people that are heads like us or that news junkies like us certainly know the players. But the awareness needs to go further to the person on the street. So when they're thinking about voting and when they're complaining, they know who they're complaining about and who's on their side. Like I said before, a couple shows ago, people can know all their sports, favorite sports stars, stats, and now all this other kind of stuff. So they need to really put that same effort into knowing the same details and stats about the people that they put in a position to affect their lives. That seems to make more sense than knowing all your friggin' sports heroes, stats and shots and rebounds, and you know all them damn stats, but you couldn't tell what your congressman voted for in the last election, you know? So those are the type of things that, you know, might not be as sexy, might be a little bit of boring, but it does affect your lives directly. And I guess people, that's the thing, people really realizing the connection, the direct connection, some specific engagement and how it affects your life, you know? I mean, there's a lot of power and money, but the base of it to put stuff in place, which is why the midterms are usually so important. You know, it's the follow through. It's the continuing building of the laying of the foundation that you're going to build and make the changes upon, you know? So I guess my feeling in terms of Biden pulling out of that and doing it the way he did. Yeah. It looked a little sloppy, but I'm not really feeling like, you know, the devastation that they're trying to make it out to be. Even people on the Democratic side making it out to be something that, you know, is jacked up and needs to be looked into. It could have been done better. But considering the situation, you know, I'm kind of in agreement with the moves that he made. How, you know, I don't know about you guys.
He was able to extract over 120,000 people within a 4-week period. Not even 4 weeks, less than that. Now, to do that, it takes a Marshall Plan type existence to do that and move that many people. And yes, there's some that were left behind.
And then when you think about the $1 trillion of equipment that was left behind, you know, then you begin to add up what the effects of war. Think about it. War, what is it really good for? Absolutely nothing. Because the bottom line is money, $1 trillion. Consider this. This day, over 67 cents of every tax dollar goes to the defense budget. And then you can't pass a $3.5 trillion for infrastructure? Defund the police? Excuse me, defund the war budget. Defund the defense budget. Then you may have enough money to build, rebuild the roads. You will even have enough money to give education to college free. Free. And you want to put, you're sad because you left behind some people and you left behind some folks that you broke a promise to? Well, guess what, America? Since 1619, you've broken every promise to every Indian, every Native American Indian treaty that you made. You've broken promises to every African American and on the route to freedom and equality. I feel sorry for the Afghan people, but every time they started feeling sorry for what was left behind and the broken promises to Afghanistan, I took away the Afghanistan name and put in African American, and I put in the name Native American. And then I said, you know what? Charity, folks, begins at home.
I understand that, but I just have to say that no one should feel victim to any kind of abuse. The problem with the United States is that we got to stop being the world cop. You know, we went in there thinking that we were going to right or wrong and impose our values. And to a certain extent, it was working. But, I happen to agree with Biden that it was time to go. I had a sister that stayed. She nearly died 1 year going in there working as a Navy CB, one of the front people going in before they start setting up for combat and stuff like that. Somebody made her out in a mosque because she looked somewhat Muslim. And you know, I still to this day, you know, it brings chills to my spine that, you know, she could have been out. But there's so many people who suffered and died. Even the 12 soldiers that were there during the whole process of extracting these people, you know. And now you're going to hear a lot of Republican bull about, well, there's not enough space for these Afghan people. You know, we can't put them as part of this economy. Anybody who's been in the freaking third world, I bring up my own heritage in Trinidad. I don't know of any government in the Caribbean where there's a freaking stimulus package, no matter how much oil wealth and tourism and all that other stuff that they may have going for them. This country is on top of the world, so to speak, forgive the pun, with regard to financial wealth. And it's a situation of the haves and the have-nots. And I think slowly but surely things are changing. You know, I mean, it may not change as fast enough in my lifetime. I thought all the work that we did 30 years ago would not bring us back to this point. But all it took was one ignorant expletive deleted to be elected president and find a whole bunch of ignorant American people in the electorate to support an agenda that they don't know any better. But one of you mentioned Moochin a moment ago. There are people in West Virginia who are totally against his agenda. So, you know, it's time that that he needs to be called out and hopefully removed, because as far as I'm concerned, he's slowing down the process. He's trying to keep things, and to a certain extent, you know, even Biden, I think, has sort of flip-flopped on it. But, you know, they have to get rid of the filibuster. They got to get rid of people like him, who's going to slow down the process. We can't afford it anymore, you know?
Well, you know what, Wayne? Something very interesting happened last night in California that we Democrats better pay very close attention to. Not only did they overwhelmingly kick the Republicans' butts, I mean they kicked them royally, beating them even more this time than they beat Trump the last time. But here's the reality and the truth that cannot be
underscored enough. The Republican base represents no more than 25 to 35% of the voting population in this country. Democrats, wake up. Wake up and smell the roses, because you're allowing a rogue minority of terrorists, Republican terrorists, to dictate to the majority our constitutional rights and our law. It is time to put that entire 25 to 35% back in Pandora's box where they belong. I heard the best joke that I've ever heard about last night from George Takei. He says, and I quote, it was the worst elder abuse that he's ever seen in his life. Now, think about that. You know, Larry Elder representing the GOP. Can we really step out of the crap that we're standing in?
You know, it's those, and I'm saying this now, that those Negroes like him, and there's somebody else from L.A. I can't, I see his face. He's always on Fox as a spokesperson and wearing one of the red MAGA hats. He's an attorney. I you know, he's like, he's trying to be the Alton Maddox of not even, and forgive me for even saying that's almost sullying Alton's name. They have this guy that comes on regularly who gives the conservative point of view from a black perspective, and you know, it's what's going on in media today, and why it is so important to have blog talk shows like what we're doing and others out here to promote, to get people back on track, because there's so much misinformation that's being put out, and there are not enough people who can decipher what's garbage from what's really real, and then you have those, as Eric pointed out, you know, they'll know somebody's baseball, football, basketball stats first before they could tell you who is their representative in the district in which they reside, and what some of the things that individual, his, you know, or her have done for that respective district to advance their own personal agendas, you know. And it is sad, but this is about waking up the sleeping giant. I look at the majority of the people who think like us, not saying that we're all sleeping, but the bottom line is that we have the power. And if what happened in California is an example of what could happen a year from now in the midterms and 2 years from now, all well and good. You know, bring it on, as they say, because, you know, we just can't go through four more years of what we went through the last four, you know? And regardless of whether his numbers are up or down now, this man has done more in 9 months than any other, including Barack Obama. I mean, he was faced with his own burdens, but I have to give him credit, you know, a pandemic. You know, the economy, we can go on and on. Afghanistan, you know, I think when history looks back at all this, you know, he's going to be, you know, someone who would have to be reckoned with, you know, as far as the politics, is the political world in the United States is concerned and all that. But we can't afford to go asleep now. That's the whole thing. We have to keep our eye on the prize and be focused.
Yeah, that's definitely true. the thing that always trips me out, I guess, in watching the people who are supposed to be on our side, and maybe I watch the talking heads, and they try to have theories as to what it is and what's going on and what's the attraction of like a Larry Elder or some of the other right-wing Trump stuff. And they don't just break it down and just say it's racism. You know, these people are doing it because it's race. There's a number of them that do, but as soon as that is the kind of a standard school of thought that's already established and accepted, then I think it puts things into a little bit better perspective, that a lot of these right-wing and a lot of these people that want to say it's about American values and, you know, immigration, all this shit. No, you motherfuckers, you guys are racist, and you've been racist, and you believe in a supremacist system. You believe that, you know, some of them believe the notion that, you know, America was supposed to be for white individuals or whatever. And I think the sooner that some people realize that about their people, the better off, you know, more we can move towards solutions as opposed to, you know, either we're going to realize Joe Manchin is not on our side, is not really want the same things that we do as Democrats, as certain other Democrats, or we're going to go along with it, or just acknowledge that, no, he's really a Republican, you know, or a Dixiecrat, and he's there to, and he answers to not only the his party, but also to the system of white supremacy, and that's where he's the swing vote for the Republicans, so to speak, on those type of subjects. Case in point, the John Lewis.
So, you know,
Lewis,
Eric, I got a novel idea for the Democrats. I really, they should consider this, because we do carry the majority and all across the country and have for the last two presidential elections. But here's a novel idea. Start taking the offensive Democrats. You've been playing
exactly
for so long, you forget that it's about majority rules. One man, one vote. You don't need Manchin. If he wants to be the butthead, but in the old days, and I grew up in D.C., they would take a person like Manchin into the woodshed and give him what you know. And they'd call him all kinds of names and say, you want some of this money, Joe? You better remember how you got your voice in this. But here's the novel idea. Democrats, start decertifying the GOP in certain states for engaging in terrorist activities endangering the United States national security. It's a novel idea. It's time to do it. And it wouldn't take that much, because you could start naming the names. The one thing about the January 6th investigation, the names are going to be on the roll call. And those thousands of pages that they have been given in that committee, they've been working since everybody else has been on vacation, just to make sure everybody knows. They did not go on vacation. They have been looking through those pages. And I'm telling you, if you start naming them names and start calling them the Republican Party of terrorists, and you know what I'm saying? You can then begin to decertify them coming from a state who are being declared as terrorists, endangering national security. And you prove the point. Even Trump's own CIA director, in a book that just got released, said that she was concerned that what he was doing was about to upset our democratic nation and an insurrection that was about to tear us down. Now, if your own CIA director, who is responsible for the protecting the national security, begins to tell you that, ladies and gentlemen of the United States Senate and the Congress, who are Democrats, stop sitting on your thumb and feeling good because you're twerking yourself. Get up off of it and get involved and start calling these names of these people who you've been sitting across the aisle hoping and wishing, Joe Manchin, that they would come and do what? Played by, you know, by political games. Y'all are playing bad games of chicken. And I'm sick and tired of being in Washington, D.C., and then hearing how, yes, we're very concerned about, you know, this coming September 18th, Saturday, so we can protect the Capitol. We're going to put the fences up. But all you hear about is protecting the Capitol. You hear nothing from any of those saying we're going to protect the citizens of the nation's capital. I am not a monument. I am Washington, D.C., and this is the third time in 6 months that I've had to go through a high alert because we got some zombies coming up into my city that literally every time they've been here, they've destroyed property, not only public property, private property, churches, you know, and here we go again. You're going to put a fence up around the Capitol? Well, ladies and gentlemen, as a person who lived through the 1968 riots right after Martin Luther King was assassinated, there were National Guards at every entrance, every alleyway in the 10 square miles of known as the nation's capital, you could not get in or out with passing through a checkpoint. So here's what I would like. I don't want those people in my city. I don't want them here. Get to keep them out of my city. They don't deserve to be in my city. And just like you blocked me from leaving my city Easter Sunday with National Guards out every checkpoint in this city, I don't want them in this city. If they step in and spit on the fence, shoot them.
So what's the recourse of the citizens there? Do you guys, is there like any type of armed, any planned resistance?
What recourse? Eric, we're not even a recognized state. We are on a plantation. We do not have representation. We are taxation without representation. We got more people than the state of one of them western states. Okay? So what recourse do we have? I got to depend on Congress to protect me.
Right.
But you're going to put a fence up around the Capitol? Screw that fence. Like I said, if they spit on the fence, shoot them.
Well, you know, the last time this happened, they had to call in the militia from neighboring states. And I'm assuming that that would probably be the plan again.
Well, yeah.
Or
listen, guys, we have so many security forces. We got more police forces in this city that are protecting us and the Capitol than you can imagine. Literally.
So why would somebody be so – my thing is, why would they even want to stage this again after what happened on the 6th? You know, there's no justification for it.
And why would the Parks Department give them a permit? Yeah. Think about that. You're giving them a permit to do what?
And who's response – isn't the mayor – I know in New York that would be the mayor's responsibility at the end of the day. You know, I know that people have a right to protest and stuff like this, but given what happened 6, 7, 9 months ago, why wasn't there some forethought given to anything that might be coming down the pike? There was something that was supposed to happen in August,
exactly.
and that went
to
rest. You know,
here's the reason you asked the question, because our mayor has to call Congress to get permission to release the National Guard.
I remember that.
See?
That's right. It still goes back to Congress.
In the end, we're just left as fodder, okay? You come into my city and you destroy a church's banner that says Black Lives Matter, and you finally give this mofo 4 months? 4 months? the same one who orchestrated the January 6th, you know, riot? The Proud Boy, he gets 4 months. That's it. You see?
I don't know.
That is the joke of all jokes, Wayne.
Yeah.
Okay. And so at that point, I'm getting out of the city. I'm leaving this city Friday and Saturday. I live 3 miles from the Capitol. 3 miles, gentlemen.
That's walking distance. Yeah.
That's walking distance. Exactly.
So what are people
in Nashville? I wanted to come down. I mean, not this weekend, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just asking if our people in the neighborhoods are ready to, like, you know, defend their property or, you know, do some old school neighborhood watch type things, or is it, you know, what is being done amongst the, if anything?
Well, let's see now. I've got a slingshot. I've got a baseball bat.
Right.
We have one of the most restrictive gun laws in the country. So, at what point do I use them? You know, against a guy who parks his truck right across the street from the Democratic National Committee's office with a bayonet, a knife so big it was, might as well have been a gun. And he was there patrolling.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is what
they
I'm talking
strapped.
About.
You know, they come down here, down there strapped. You know, why is it there's a double standard for that? You know?
And here's something else, gentlemen. We had the Million Man March, two of them. We had the Poor People's Campaign a couple weeks ago. And do you know something? Not a window, not an arrest, not any discipline problems whatsoever. And you got these yahoos coming up in here and climbing the walls and destroying federal property and actually engaged in aiding and abetting the death of six Capitol Police officers, whether by suicide or injuries received. And there's nobody convicted at this moment.
Nobody's convicted up until now?
Nobody. Nobody.
Wow. That's America. That's America for you.
It's got to change.
Yeah.
That's all
change,
I can say. It's got to change.
So you see, so when they start talking about playing these bipartisan games that they've been playing, to hell with that crap. We got one man, one vote. That's how America works. I'm not interested in your filibuster because, as we know, that was created only because one party figured it had to have some leverage
mm-hmm.
in the halls of Senate and Congress to balance it. That's what the three-fifths rule was in this country. You supposedly have eliminated that. So at the point at which when you start figuring out why gerrymandering and redlining and all of that is about protecting what? Those gated Tony communities. Okay. See, white people, I want to say this to white people, those who are listening, I got some great white friends. But white people, pay attention to this. I'm not your problem. It's your people who are out of control. And y'all better do something quickly because they are the ones who are destroying your credibility and my friendship with you, not me. So stop asking me to clean up your crap. I am not your maid. I'm not your butler. I'm not your yard man. I'm not your Negro. Get it straight.
You know, and it's hard. I hear what you're saying because I have like one or two, I think, still understand what's going on. And you know, they don't. They will admittedly say, I don't know what it's like to walk in your shoes because you're a person of color. But when they see what goes on TV, and thank God we have telephones with cameras now, you know, that they could actually see a memorial of what's happened in the course of an event or, you know, whatever may be going down. You know, that's the only good thing that I have to say that I like about social media today, although not everybody should be out there doing things or editing films in such a way that disparage what, you know, what has happened or alter the thinking, the mindset. But, you know, it's an immediate source and it's needed. But I don't know, you know, I try to be patient and understand and convey because, I, you know, deep down in my gut, I don't want to sound racist. But after a while, there's so much nonsense that goes on that, you know, whenever I talk about these issues, you know, you get the impression, at least the response or the reaction is, well, you know, you're racist. You don't see things our way and blah, blah, blah. And it's not about that. It's not about that at all. You know, I mean, a lot of it is as plain as black and white. And people aren't.
You get the reaction that you're racist?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that they're, you know, the certain services and certain things that go, for instance, you know, I don't know who was affected by the recent storms that happened here, but, you know, it's just interesting that, you know, one of my properties, suffered a considerable amount of damage from water finds its own way. And if a municipality doesn't do enough to correct the problems, and particularly in areas where people are living slightly impoverished or those who are impoverished, those neighborhoods are never looked after with respect to handling problems like that. Or just take New York City and what happened in a borough of Queens, all these people dying and drowning and, you know, I mean, why isn't there any forethought to cleaning up? I mean, years ago when I was coming up in this town, there were people that would take time to clean up a storm drain or report something that was ineffective to make sure that it happens. You know, we have all this sophistication of dialing 311 or writing to the local congressional assembly or state senator to have certain things advanced. And with all these things that are going on, you know, time and again, the same issue still prevails. Like what's going on, I don't know if it's a national story yet, but we've had a horrific situation in Rikers Island, New York City's largest prison. You know, there are people in there. It's anarchy in there, you know. And the thing is, this ain't something that just happened yesterday. This has been going on for years.
Well, yeah,
what are we doing about this?
The 18,000 prisoners, oh, actually, they're detainees because Rikers Island is not a prison. It's a detention center. 18,000 people. That's the
current population. Yeah, and some of them, and some of them are awaiting trial, and they may not be, you know, guilty of anything.
That's right.
They can be just sent there, you know, picked up, and you're gone, and you're in the system until they figure out a way to clean this matter up. You know, I think it's appalling, and I'm sorry. I say de Blasio is largely at fault for seeing this happen. It's not enough to talk. Well, we're gonna deconstruct Rikers and put up small little facilities in each borough to handle the load and stuff like that. You know, this has been going on more years than what I could want to remember. And it's unfortunate, and in many ways it's even global because I find that in other states they haven't really tackled the problem appropriately. I don't know what goes on in Jersey that much anymore, but I do know people are not committing suicide and being killed the way they are. I think we've had 10 in the last couple of weeks here in New York, and it's embarrassing, you know. And I hope when this man seeks higher elective office, because I think that's the deal with him, he finally has gotten his wish that Cuomo is gone. I hope people remember some of the stuff that you know has happened under his watch and needs to be talked about. You know, it's just one of those things. It's very difficult. I know what's going on in D.C., but it's also very difficult. And you know what I speak of, Byron, because you spent time here, too. You know,
it's very difficult to be there. When I ran the Queens Historical Society for 8 years, that was back in 1991 to 2000, okay? I would be invited to go do, motivational speaking at elementary schools. And I went to a school that was actually in Brooklyn, because I, at that time, they wanted me to talk about what do I do in preserving the history of the 2.5 million people of New York City. This was a third grade class. And the teacher, before I walked in the class, she said, "Mr. Saunders, don't be surprised if they don't pay you much attention. You know, they're just not into what." I said, "Don't worry, I got this." So as I began to tell them what I did, I said, "Now, here's something that you may not realize. Rikers Island. How about I said, and I started off by saying, how many people here have heard of Rikers Island?" Every hand went up in that room. Every hand in that third grade class went up in that room. And I said, "Well, here's something I want you all to consider. There are 18,000 men and women in Rikers Island. And the fact that you know somebody who in your family or friends of family is in Rikers Island is very disturbing, because here's the problem. 1 in 3 of you in this classroom," and I counted off starting with the first person in the class, 1, 2, 3, I said, "You're going to Rikers Island. 1, 2, 3, you're going to jail. 1, 2, 3, you're going to jail." Mm. That's the impact that you have to give the people and make them understand that 1 in 3 of you are going to be first-time offenders before you reach the age of 21. And then I said, "Now, here's the challenge, ladies and gentlemen." I didn't call them boys and girls. I said, "Ladies and gentlemen, here's the challenge for you. Because if you know somebody, my challenge to you is, the people who are in the first and the second grade, please do them and yourself a favor. Stop leading them into the next routine of going to Rikers Island. You have a choice right now. to turn your life around, be a substantial citizen in your community, a good student right here in the school, and you have little kids underneath you who look up to you and want to be just like you. And guess what? If you're one of the three that I just counted out who's getting ready to go into that system, you're going to lead those same friends of yours right on along with you. The teacher looked up at me and said, thank you, Mr. Saunders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and mean, that's the way it's got to go down. You know, you got to reach them at
right.
that age.
That's
and
right.
in a very real world way. Like I said, tell people, you know, like you tell them, look to the right and to the left. Not everybody's going to be here, you know.
Yeah.
Or not everybody's going to be, you know, doing the same thing in 20 years. You know, that's some very real, serious realization, you know. You know, I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think? Would you have gone to space today? with four other civilians.
Okay. Well, I got a son who wants to be on, who actually is in the Air Force right now. His dream is to be a pilot, and that he is pursuing it, and he signed up to be part of the Space Force. As he graduated a year and a half ago from Lackland Air Force Base as a Air Force National Guard, you know, reserve, his dream is there. And I was like, you know, son, when you were in kindergarten out at Kennedy Airport, every day you saw planes flying in and out. So you got it naturally. You even saw the supersonic British plane that was flying in and out. So I understand the passion, the dream to want to be a bird in the sky, flying free. You know, Icarus tried to tell us, but you fell to the earth because the sun burned your wings. You know, but the Wright brothers, all the way up to our African-Americans who is getting ready to go up, the woman's getting ready to go up tonight. Did they take off yet, Wayne? Because you said you were watching.
I don't know.
It,
I hadn't really been following it, you know, and Eric mentioned it at the very top, you know.
But I have dreams of wanting my son to take me up. Show me. Show me.
Well,
I trust. I want to know what's out there because I know I'm a child of God, and my melanin comes from the universe. So I want to know where the universe really is. I want to know why did the Egyptians and those ancestors who came from the chosen people, why did they were always in contact with the universe? Not just by looking at the stars. Why did the Aztecs, why did these people draw pictures of them in spacecraft? What about the space lines over in Peru on the field? Those were landing routes. Tell me the truth. I see the truth. You're not the only ones that have been up in space, people.
Well,
okay.
I want you certifiably published so I can read about it because lately my focus is increasing my swimming skills after seeing what I've gone through in this last hurricane, you know.
Yeah.
And
I get it.
I do understand what you're saying.
But here, think about this. The fire's in the west, and right now, tomorrow and Friday, there's another rainstorm coming up in Louisiana and the Gulf Coast. And the rain that y'all got 2 weeks ago from Ida, and you mean to tell me your pipeline can run from the Gulf Coast all the way up to Connecticut, and yet you can't get enough water to put out the fires in the West Coast?
There you go.
And you're getting all this rain. What are you doing, mankind?
I thought it was
pissing
just
pissing off God.
Yeah.
They're showing
their
priorities. Showing their priorities, you know. Their priorities not in the
right places,
at least. Before we go, man, I mean, we got to cut about another 9-8 minutes, something like that. But what do you guys think about General Milley, the revealing of General Milley deciding not to let Trump start a nuclear war, basically? You know,
I mean, so grateful. You know, when I heard the news, I'm anxious to go out and get the book. But, you know, I looked at him at first as a caricature. But I have so much respect for him, you know, in a negative sense. I had looked, not I shouldn't say, he's done so much that I think to avert a phenomenal crisis that could have occurred here, and there have been so many different instances, he should be getting a Congressional Medal of Honor for his contribution to American life, you know? But I was just amazed. I knew this man was off the planet regarding 45, but it's deep. It's deep, real deep.
We've been saying all along that he committed, 45 committed treason with the Russians, with these right-wing racist supremacists, and ultimately rising above your rank as a general is also swearing to be a decent citizen, protecting the Constitution and the rule of law. And yes, he went along with some of what Trump was doing. You know what? But he stepped away from it. And instead of trying to accuse him of treason, look up the definition of treason for those of you who are trying to accuse him of treason, because your name is spelled in the indictment of what treason really is, because you're aiding and abetting. And guess what? Hiding 45 crimes is treason.
There it is.
Yeah. It really
All
is.
Right. Well, you get the last word, my brother.
Well, I didn't realize we were out of time already. I mean, you did say we had
about
9 minutes.
We haven't
done,
guys.
Yeah.
Come on. We've been away for a month, you know?
Yeah, well, it's never a pregnant pause with us. I hope this ain't the sign of anything. But, you know, I agree. I just hope that things get better. I'm sorry again for your loss, Eric, you know, and I just want to say, if Hugh is listening for wherever he is, you know, I'm so grateful for the help I got, you know, and I just hope to pass it forward to somebody else in need.
That's the value of being that's the value of us. We're storytellers. Our job is, as journalists, is to tell the story and tell the truth. We speak the truth, fellas, and we have to. I salute you all, because each of us may have a piece of the truth, but we're not veering away from the universal truth. Some people are in virtual reality, which has nothing to do with the truth.
Well, you know, yeah, that's true. And there's a lot of things that people get bombarded with in life, you know, the pandemic, the floods, this and that. And the lack of information is what, you know, the lack of them getting clear information and accurate information is what suffers, right? On top of the people that are already trying to do it intentionally and mislead the country and mislead individuals with the wrong type of information. But sooner or later, somebody's got to say, you know, try to seek certain information for themselves, unless they're just happy where they are. Because just, I mean, like I said, we need to get to the point where some people don't want to get along and some people don't want this to be a united country. They want it to be united the way they want it to be. But the reality of what it is, they don't want it that way. So, that's it. We're going to do this again next week. We're really out of time this time, my brothers. Brother Wayne Gilman, you want to give the people your sign-off and give them your final words of advice until we meet again?
Keep the faith, baby. Adam Powell. Keep the
Adam
faith.
Powell, yes, sir.
There it is. We'll talk to you again, Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman, my brother. Talk to you soon.
All the best.
All right. Byron Saunders.
Yes, sir.
People just send
peace
off
and love always, my
experience.
Brothers and sisters, and remember this, you and I and the rest of our clan, we are the majority in this country. Start acting like it and demand accountability. Don't go along with the status quo or all the hype. Go to the truth and the light. Thank you for your listening to this show. God bless you.
Right on. There it is. There it is. Byron Saunders, legendary historian. We'll talk again soon. Until the next time. This is Kay's Son and Friends. I'm Kay's Son, Citizen Payne, Eric Payne. You know, as I'm going out, there's just a lot of things on my mind. You know, obviously the events of the last month and trying to pay attention to the universe and follow certain signs and, you know, the passing of loved ones. makes you think about a lot of things, especially the ones that you were walking the earth with and started life with. So that's it. I'm out. We will talk again soon on Kay's Son and Friends. Talk to you soon. Mom's up in heaven on assignment. Talk to you guys. Take care. Bye.